Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that we're here together today for our first official training call for the Ritual and Facilitation Mastery Program. And also, it's our first time together since our retreat a couple weeks ago. And I've just been thinking about each of you so much. I can't believe that 2 weeks have already passed by since we were together. So it's great to be together again just 2 weeks later. So I know that a number of you will be here today, and I also know that some of you aren't able to be here today. So if you're listening in on the recording instead of live, I want to welcome you, just like I'm welcoming all of the women coming in live right now, and really reactivate us as a circle. So in order to do that, let's take a moment and get centered and get settled and get more present, come back together. I'll lead us through a short grounding visualization, a short grounding meditation. It's always important to do these, but I feel like for our call today, it's even more important to pay attention to this grounding and coming back together as a circle, because we're going to start just toe dipping into the topic of shadow today. And it's a biggie. I'll talk a lot more about it in a few minutes, but I want to make sure that we're fully present for this really important material that we're going to be looking at today. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you're somewhere right now where you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes for whatever reason, out and about or whatever it is, I invite you to close the shades on your eyes so that you really can go inward for a couple of minutes. And I invite you to become aware of the ground beneath you and the earth beneath that, allowing your body and your energy to feel grounded, allowing some of the energy, the excess energy that's swirling around in your head, to make its way down into your body, feeling the pull of the earth, not in a heavy way, but in a grounding way. And just watch as that energy, that extra energy in your head space and in your mind space, moves down into your body where you need it right now. And if there's any extra energy that even wants to move down from your body into the earth, give permission for that. And then finding your breath, inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, expand, take in life. As you exhale, let go, release. Inhaling, opening up, and taking as much space as you need. Exhaling and letting go. using the breath to connect deeply with your body, especially today as we are in this intense week, this intense full moon, partial eclipse week, where we may have spun off in different directions, or maybe feelings were triggered, emotions high, really using the breath to connect to the truth right now. The truth is always in your body. Inhaling and exhaling, and using the breath to connect with your inner wisdom, with your intuition. And then as you breathe, inhaling and exhaling, using the breath to connect in with our sister circle, consciously making your way back to our circle and intentionally taking your seat in this sacred circle. Just really take a moment and allow yourself to intentionally come back to the circle. Allow yourself to intentionally take your place. Allow yourself to intentionally reconnect with the women in our circle. Allow yourself to reconnect with me. And as you connect with your breath in this way, and your body in this way, and your wisdom in this way, and our circle in this way, I invite you to take a moment to honor yourself. Simply just for being you. I invite you to take the next few moments to let go of the self-judgment that can oftentimes roll around in our heads, and instead to focus on your heart and all of the love that you hold in your heart. I invite you to take a moment to really honor all of who you are. And together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Wonderful. So again, welcome, 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 women. I'm so happy that we're here together today. As I was mentioning at the beginning of the call, for those of you that didn't hear it, I've just been thinking about each and every one of you so much since we were together already 2 weeks ago, if you can believe it. And I've really been looking forward to coming back together today. And today we are going to be looking at one of my very, very, very favorite topics. We're going to start looking at shadow and what shadow is and what it means and how it comes up, and a little bit in terms of facilitation. As we step into the work that we're going to be doing today and to all that I have to share with you today, there's a couple of things that I want to lay out at the outset that are really important. So first of all, when we come together in November for part two, for those of us that are going to be together in part two, we're going to have three full days of really looking at shadow and looking at archetype. A one-hour training call doesn't do it justice, and we are not by any means going to do any more than skim the surface today. We just can't in this amount of time. But I did want to take a training call to really look at this together, to do an intro, because I want you, for those of you that will be at part two, I want you to just begin to be thinking about this, you know, even if you're not thinking about it consciously, for you to begin taking it in. And for those of you that won't be at part two, I wanted to be able to really give you these places to start. So this is going to be like a tiptoe in. We're going to get our toes wet, probably not even up to our ankles, but even just getting toes wet in shadow, there's so much that's going to come out of it. So that's the first piece I want you to know. The second piece I want you to know is that a lot of what we're going to be looking at today, this is not going to be the only time you're going to hear me say this. So say what we're looking at today. So even when we come together, for those of us that will be together in November, we're going to start here. This is the information that I'm going to be sharing with you today. The things that we're going to be looking at today are the kind of thing that you want to be hearing over and over again and then go deeper with it each time. This is a side note, like a facilitation note or a teacher's note or even a coach's note. Don't be afraid to share the same information more than once. So sometimes as facilitators or teachers, you know, we feel like, all right, you know, I already taught that. I can't teach that to the same people again. They're not going to get their money's worth, right? Of course, you always want to be giving a lot of value and get into deeper layers and all of that, but at the same time, there is such incredible value to repeating the important pieces, because the way that people learn is the first time they learn something, they get it on a, like, on a mind level, right? Even if you're doing other things, like, we, you know, like facilitation pieces, all of that, you know, people will get it on the body level, the soul level, all of that too. But the first time somebody learns, particularly if you're teaching information as opposed to doing processes, you know, they'll get it on that mind level, that consciousness level, maybe a little bit deeper. But then the next time they review it, they're going to get it on an even deeper level and an even deeper level and an even deeper level. So the way I think about this, I think this will be helpful probably for everybody on the call. The way I think about this is kind of like Montessori method. So Tanina, my older daughter, went to Montessori for a little bit. And one of the many things that I loved about Montessori is that the kids stay in the same classroom for 3 years. And not only do they stay in the same classroom with the same teacher for 3 years, but the things that they're working on, they have works in the classroom, different works that they can engage with and learn from. Those works oftentimes stay the same for the 3 years too. So you might say, oh, that makes no sense. Like, after the first year, why would they still be in that same classroom using those same works? Like, they need to move on to something else. But the brilliance of Montessori is that the works that the kids use are set up so that each time you engage with the work, you get it on a deeper level. So a student that's engaging with it for the first time may get it, the surface, a little bit deeper than the surface. The second time, they're going to understand it more. They're going to get it in their bones. They're going to start not having to think so consciously about it. And then, you know, the third year, they're going to master whatever that skill is. So I like to think about those terms when I'm teaching as well. So anyway, all of that to say that this is not the only time you're going to be hearing the information that I'm going to be teaching you today and sharing with you today. The third piece that I really want to lay out, and there's a lawnmower right outside my window, so let me just move myself here so that you guys can all hear me. The third piece that I really want to lay out before we go in even more deeply today, I hinted at this a little bit at the very start of the call, but I want to explain a little bit more. So when you look at shadow, even in a container like this, even when it's a circle full of evolved women who are leaders themselves, even in a group of self-aware, evolved people, sometimes when you look at shadow or when you teach about shadow, because shadow is about the things that we can't see, and I'll go more into what that means in a little bit, but because shadow is about the things that we can't see, it's easy to get triggered, even just looking at it in today we're going to be looking at it in a very intellectual way. We're not going to do any processes really at all, but sometimes we can even get triggered when we look at shadow, just looking at it that way, particularly if it's over the phone as opposed to if I would be in the room with you, right, because it's a little bit looser online than in person. So I just mentioned this in case, as we look at the material today, if you find yourself getting triggered or getting annoyed at me or getting upset at you know, whatever it is, for you to be able to be aware, oh, this is because we're starting to toe dip into shadow pieces. My ego doesn't really want me to be looking at shadow so much. It wants to steer me clear away from it. That's why I'm feeling these things. You know, I don't think anybody in this group is likely to get too triggered, but it's important to share that with you, for you, and also just as you, as a facilitator, work with shadow, for you to understand that. Okay, so all that being said, I want to give you a couple of scenarios to think about. So here's scenario number one. You're out one night with a bunch of your girlfriends, and one of them mentions that she just did something amazing in her business. I don't know, whatever amazing is for you. You know, she earned 100K in 2 days, or whatever, had 10,000 people sign up for a teleclass, whatever it is. Something really amazing just happened to her in her business. You're happy for her, yet something starts nagging at you because you've really been wanting that thing too. And even though you're usually a very caring and compassionate and supportive person and friend, even though that's generally who you are, before you know it, as you're out with your girlfriends, you're unwittingly shaming this friend in front of the entire group. Maybe you're criticizing her choice in romantic partners or sharing an embarrassing personal story about her, whatever it is. It's almost as if there was a predatory kind of energy that was lodged deep inside of you, and then it just came out without your consent, without, you know, by accident, without you meaning to, and you're taking this friend down and in kind of sideways. Or here's another scenario. You just signed the most amazing client ever, your ideal client, and you are so excited about working with this person. yet somehow, even though you are usually such an organized and responsible person, you come to your first meeting with this client unprepared. Or maybe you, I don't know, you stayed out way too late the night before your first meeting with this client and you show up exhausted. It's as if your whole entire life you are a hyper-responsible person, maybe even too responsible. But it always seems that at the exact wrong moment, your inner lazy sloth abruptly comes out to sabotage you. Here's one more scenario I want you to think about. You have an acquaintance, probably not a good friend, but someone that you know through a social circle, business circle, something like that, someone that you just can't stand. She gets on your nerves and really ticks you off nearly every time you see her because she's one of those people that are just really self-confident. She clearly loves herself a lot. She clearly thinks that everything that she does is valuable and worthwhile, and she's very vocal about all of this. And somehow this really gets your goat. You judge her because she's too full of herself. She's not modest enough. And maybe you're usually the model of modesty and downplaying your brilliance, and you've maybe suffered because of all of this. But you just, this woman, you can't stand her. You are constantly, whenever you come in contact with her, criticizing her in your head, and like even for days after you see her, you're just so ticked off by her self-confidence. So these three scenarios, even if you haven't had the same exact thing happen to you, I'm guessing that you could use the law of adaptation and some of this would sound familiar to you, right? That you kind of know what I'm talking about here. Each of these three situations that I gave, and I could give so many more, but each of these three situations are examples of the shadow at work. And each and every human being on this planet has got shadow energies running through them. So what is the shadow? Well, Carl Jung is the first person who really identified it or spoke about it. He coined the phrase. And this is how he described it. The shadow is the parts of yourself or your personality that you don't consciously identify with. They're the parts of yourself or your personality that you don't consciously identify with. In other words, the shadow are the parts of yourself that you have either rejected or that you haven't recognized inside of yourself because part of you has judged these parts of yourself as unacceptable or shameful or not allowed. And because you've decided that this part of you, that this energy inside of you, that this personality trait, whatever it is unacceptable or shameful or not allowed, you've just rejected it. You've decided that it's not you. The shadow is usually a part or parts of yourself that at a very young age, you made a sacred promise to yourself. You made a contract with yourself to not be that thing. And then therefore you pushed it into shadow. So let me give you some examples. of what I mean by this. Let's say that you grew up with a mother who was constantly overworking, and as a kid, you felt really neglected or unseen. You might decide then that being ambitious is bad, right? As a kid, you decide being ambitious is actually bad. And so you stuff your own ambition down deep inside of you so that you can always be present for your own kids. You make yourself not ambitious. You put it into shadow. But the problem with that is that even if you put your ambition into shadow, it still exists somewhere inside of you. And maybe because you've pushed that ambition into shadow, you end up feeling unfulfilled in your career. Or here's another example. Maybe when you were younger, your father couldn't hold down a job, and your family was always stressed out because he couldn't hold down a job. Maybe you were at risk for bankruptcy. There was always money stress. If that's the case, perhaps you decided at a young age that laziness was bad. You judged the energy of laziness to be bad. And you decided at a young age that there was no part of you that was ever going to be irresponsible or lazy. So to be really vigilant about this, as an adult, even, you swept away any impulses to relax or any impulses to have space or spaciousness. You just swept that under the rug and became super hyper responsible. So much so that your responsible nature gets in the way of you having time for yourself and taking pleasure in your life. So in other words, your shadow parts, are actually natural, normal, and vital parts of yourself that you decided at a very young age you would never be. You decided you weren't going to be that. I'm going to say that again. Your shadow is actually natural, normal, and vital parts of yourself that you need in order to function and be happy, but it's parts of yourself that you decided at a young age that you were not that. And now here's the next really important piece. Because you have rejected this part or these parts of yourself, because you've disenfranchised them, they still come up to bite you in the butt because they're still a part of you. Just because you decided that they weren't a part of you, just because you put them into shadow doesn't mean that they don't exist anymore. They want to come out no matter what. So when you put a part of yourself into shadow, when you reject a part of yourself, when you disenfranchise a part of yourself, one of three things is going to happen. One of three things is going to happen for it to bite you in the butt. Number one, you're going to recognize this energy in other people, and it's going to annoy the crap out of you. It's a you spot it, you got it kind of thing, right? So that's that example I gave at the beginning about, you know, hating on someone who's overconfident, right? And it just, like, gets your goat. It just annoys you so much. You get angry when you see this thing in others, right? And it can be anything. You know, if you're putting your sexual energy into shadow, maybe you get really annoyed when you see other people totally connected into their sexuality and their sensuality and expressing it. If you have put your natural desire to be really big and really seen and really visible into shadow, you might get triggered when you see other people that are really big and really seen and really visible. You might, maybe for some reason when you're younger, you disenfranchised, maybe you have a beautiful singing voice, and for whatever reason you rejected that, you decided that you weren't that, maybe it was dangerous to be that for whatever reason, and your family had this beautiful singing voice, and so you put that into shadow, you pretend like you don't have it, you never sing, but then when you see someone else singing beautifully, it triggers you in some way. So that's the first way that the shadow can act. You recognize it in others, it really gets your goat, really gets to you. You spot it, you got it. The second way that the shadow can show up, the parts of yourself that you've disenfranchised, that you've rejected can show up, is, again, they're still there, but you kind of, when you reject them, then you don't have control over them anymore so much. You can't harness them. And so they get turned on other people. This is mostly accidental things, things that happen that you don't even realize. So a great example of the shadow being turned on others is road rage. People that have road rage, for the most part, are people that have put their own anger into shadow. People that have somehow decided that the energy of anger is wrong, is bad, is dangerous. And so because of that, they don't express and experience anger in healthy ways, right? They've rejected it completely, so they don't experience anger in unhealthy ways, or I should say they don't allow themselves to experience it in healthy ways because they've rejected it. They're ashamed maybe of the fact that they have anger they've put into shadow. But again, the anger is there one way or another, and anger is just an energy, just like anything else, just like love or joy or grief. If you allow it, if you embrace it, then you can express it in healthy ways. It's when you don't embrace it, it's when you hate on it, it's when you put it in shadow that then it gets expressed in ways that are not so healthy or not so good, right? And then we can have road rage. Another example of shadow turning on others is the one that I gave earlier, the, you know, out with girlfriends. You're normally a loving, supportive person, but somebody achieved something that you really want, maybe something you put into shadow, and all of a sudden it's like you want to take that person down. It's like this energy comes out, you don't even realize it, and you're kind of taking, in subtle ways maybe even, it doesn't have to be so aggressive, but you're taking that person down, right? And you're like, where is this coming from? I can't even control what I'm saying right now. The third way that the shadow expresses itself, again, because the shadow is always going to express itself, just because you've swept it under the rug doesn't mean it's not there. It actually wants to be seen and express itself. So the third way something in shadow is going to express itself is you're, instead of turning it on others, you're going to turn it on yourself. So this is any kind of self-sabotage, nail-biting, self-depreciation, judging yourself. There is a ton of power and empowerment and creative energy in your shadow. That's like just that, all of that empowered creative energy, it's just tied up in your shadow. Some of your truest self is going to be found in those parts of yourself that you have rejected and ignored and hated on. And that's why, for yourself, and then as practitioners, as facilitators, one of the most beautiful gifts that we can give our clients is to help them own their shadows, to help them see their shadows, take their shadows out of the blind spot and bring them into the light to be embraced. When we can do that for ourselves, when we can do that for our clients, then we can be whole again. Then we don't have to be disenfranchised anymore, running around hiding parts of ourselves. When we work with the shadow, it allows for such a deeper level of self-acceptance, of self-love, and such a deeper level of peace, because, again, we don't have to unconsciously hide parts of ourselves that are just natural, normal, vital parts of ourselves. Working with your shadow in intentional ways is a way to lovingly bring your true self out of the shadow and into the light. We always want to be for ourselves and with our clients, with our workshop participants, we always want to be working with people's truest selves. When you work with shadow, it allows you to change behaviors and patterns that don't serve. It is the missing piece around so much stuck or self-sabotage patterning. It is the missing piece around clients not being able to fully accept how amazing they are and how brilliant they are and how sacred they are. All right, so I want to pause here because I've been talking for a long time and I know I've given you a lot so far in a very short period of time. I want to pause here and let me get us into hand-raising mode here. I'd love to hear what you're hearing and seeing so far. What are you hearing and seeing? Why is this important for you personally, or why is this important for you as a practitioner? It's star 2 to raise your hand. I want to hear from you guys again because this is such a sensitive topic and I can't see your faces because we're not in the room together. I want to be able to hear what's moving through you right now, what you're seeing and hearing here. Star 2. So I need to give you a more detailed question. Why don't I do that? Since nobody's raising their hand. I have a sense you're all listening with very open ears, but let me ask you this, and why don't you go ahead and journal on it for a little bit. So jot down your answer to this question. From what we've looked at together so far, there's going to be two questions. The first question, from what we've looked at together so far, and there's so much more to look at, but just so far, why is it important for you personally to be able to work with your shadow and become aware of it? Why is it important for you personally? And then the second question is, as a practitioner, as a facilitator, what are you starting to see is really important for you when it comes to shadow? Why is this an important piece for you in your work? So I'll give you a minute or 2 minutes to journal on all of that. And then I'll come back for some shares. take another minute. Why is this important for you personally? What are you starting to see around your own life, your own places that you hold in shadow? And then why is this important for your client, for your work? Star two, what are you seeing so far? Uh-oh, I'm starting to get worried, guys. Are you with me? Okay, good. There's some hands. Jocelyn.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm so glad to be on this call with you. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, this is so interesting because I have so many clients recently that are definitely needing to feel more self-love and self-empowerment. So this makes me really interested to hear more, because I've often associated that with, you know, they need more time for self-care, they need more spaciousness, you know, they need to see what it feels like to take better care of themselves. But I can see there's some really, really much deeper work to do here around shadow to help them heal from that.
Yeah, good, good. And what you're saying is so true, like the oftentimes part of the self-love equation is the spaciousness and the nurturing and all of that. And oftentimes when there's a block to self-love, it's because we're good at loving the shiny parts of ourselves, but mm-hmm. we're not willing to love or even tolerate the parts of ourselves that we've judged as not so shiny or not so good.
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful, good. Thank you. All right, let's see who's next. I'm going to guess this is Jamie, but I'm not 100% sure. 138.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, good.
Okay.
So... what my response was initially, I haven't done a lot of work in shadow. I have interest in it for sure, but I feel like so much of what's going on right now is like everybody's working in the light and working, you know, with all these light aspects, and even like with yoga, you might have this sense of shadow aspects coming up, but it's just like, you know, you kind of just release them rather than so much diving down into them. And this just instantly was like places that I feel stuck, places that I feel like I have fear, but I don't even really have a lot of access to the fear. I just feel really stuck. It's in here. And so for me doing this work on myself in here, it's going to pull all of these things out. It's going to pull me out. And so just, I feel like once you go through that experience yourself and you realize those things of yourself, then you just see like a whole nother way that you can be helping other people by doing the same work with them.
Yeah, beautiful. So well said. And you're bringing up a really important point that that I wanted to make, and I forgot, so I'm so glad that you're bringing this up. This is so important. So there is a tendency in our culture, and we looked at this a little bit on our last day of our retreat, there is a tendency in our culture to be attracted to the light and to reject what's not so light. There is a tendency to want spring and summer, but to be scared of fall and winter, or to judge those as not as good, not as effective, not as right, and particularly in the, you know, I'll call them, you know, the spiritual industries. You know, industry doesn't do it justice, but, you know, all of the beautiful spiritual work that's being done now and the transformative work, all of that, there's a tendency towards love and light and rejection of dark and shadow. And this is exactly, and you're giving the example, Jamie, of like in yoga class and, you know, all of that. This is exactly one of the reasons why we have even more of a propensity to put things into shadow, because we often think that to be spiritual means to only focus on the positive, to only focus on the good, to only focus on the light. Now, I'm not saying start focusing on the negative. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is that when we only focus on the light, when we only focus on the spring and the summer, we're literally missing out on half of life. So this is the other reason why working with shadow and looking at shadow is so important, and why I think one of the reasons why I want, you know, not as many people are looking at it. Ah, I see that. A lot more people raised their hand after sharing that, but I'm going to go through the line because there's juicy things here. So I don't know who this is from Arizona, but your name isn't coming up. 8951. I just took you.
That's Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. How are you? How's everybody?
What are you seeing?
Well, so what came up for me is just thinking, you know, like just in all your scenarios, I can think, oh, I can think of a time where I've kind of done that. And so I'm suspecting that we might have little pieces of a lot of these types of shadow archetypes, but then I'm wondering, and it leads me to think, okay, what's the big one for me that I'm not seeing, you know? And the whole point, I think, of why it is important to look at this is so that I can avoid, you know, my stuckness and my self-sabotaging behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So, you know, we're not going to have enough time today on this call for everybody to be able to identify their most active one. We'll do that in November.
Right.
But what I would say for now is you just start journaling on this. Because I have a feeling something really important got opened up for you here, and all the ways that you recognize yourself in it, and you're going to see more and more. That's really great.
Good suggestion. Thank you.
Good. Tammy.
Hi, everybody. I'm finding it interesting kind of putting it in words. Like, I feel like energetically when I'm working in sessions, both for myself and with clients, like, we're always kind of tapping into this because that's just a natural part of, like you said, changing patterns and healing and stuff. So I feel like it's obviously very important to work with your clients there, and I think that I do a lot of it, but I am more curious, and it just feels weird to put it into such a black and white kind of, like, light and dark. Like, you know, like, it just seems like such a natural process, just like cycles are, that we're kind of coming in and out. And so it's just interesting to look at it from a different perspective. It almost seems a little more intellectual, which is a piece that I don't hang out in a ton. So it's definitely, you know, I'm interested to kind of research more, and I definitely feel like, I'm definitely more curious, looking at it from this perspective.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and it makes for you so much sense because you're not really working in verbal ways. I mean, I know you're talking to your clients, right? But it's like less verbal and so much more about the body. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I'm presenting it right now is going to feel really black and white because of that. Because when you're working with the body, you know, like words are really masculine in the sense of like words kind of force us to put things in boxes. Whereas when you're working with the body, it is so much more organic and in and out. So what I think is really important for you is number one, just the value in recognizing the ways that you're already doing this in those nonverbal ways. And my sense is just beginning, you tell me if you agree with this, and we'll go much deeper in November, but for you to start to have actually a little bit more of an intellectual awareness of why you're doing the things that you're doing intuitively when you're working with bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if that resonates, I would sit with that for a little bit. How does that feel?
Yeah. No, it feels good, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Erin.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
So what it's come up for me, and I've worked with the shadow now for a little while, but I love learning more about it and just even going deeper. But what the things that have really, resonated with me is two things. One, just the ability to just learn so much more about myself and why I'm doing the things that I do and why I did the things I did before, and to be able to have more compassion for those parts of myself, like you mentioned, you know, before. And also the next thing, and this has been huge, is just not taking things personally when other people, clients or family, friends, reacted a certain way or say certain things. And that's really helped so much because I know it's something within them. And so if I'm not getting defensive, then it doesn't add fuel to that. And it allows them to, you know, maybe just process it on their own. But it helps me to not get all fired up inside and think there's something wrong with me when I know it's just a reflection of whatever they're going through, where, you know, and it causes me to do the same thing when I react in a way. I'm like, oh, is that like part of my shadow, or is that what's going on here? You know, to really be mindful.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and I want to pull it out even more. It's really important, and I'll speak, you know, more, I guess, from the practitioner point of view than when it happens in personal situations, but the same applies. One of the reasons, even if you're not ever going to, you know, do any processes with clients around the shadow, even if you decide, like, that's not for you, you don't want to go there, it's still so important and so valuable to understand these principles around the shadow so that you don't get triggered and defensive when one of your clients' shadow pieces are, you know, that second way that it shows up, right? It gets turned on others. For better or worse, when you're working with people, sometimes their shadow unwittingly can get turned on you because you're safe and easy, like a little bit of an easy target. So the more that you as the practitioner can recognize, oh, this isn't about me. Oh, this person doesn't even realize. Because when it gets turned on others, it's usually by accident. It's so unconscious. The person either doesn't realize or they don't have control over it because the shadow is running the show. So as a practitioner, if you can really see, like, oh, not only is this not about me, but my client right now isn't even fully grounded in her full energy. She just has this one shadow energy that's kind of running her show right now. Then it's so much easier as a practitioner to get more grounded, to see the bigger picture of the situation, and then to know how to lead the conversation or the session or whatever from there. So I'm so glad that you're bringing that up, Erin. So important. Good. All right, I'll take one more share and then I can give you guys some homework. Laura.
Hi there. I'm sitting here pondering and listening. Your statement about there's a tendency in our culture to be attracted to the light, to the summer and spring, and to kind of reject and be afraid of the darker seasons like fall and winter and the deeper work. The work I do is in shadow. The studies I've immersed myself in since the late 80s, early 90s is in shadow. I'm very comfortable there. And as you know, I'm very comfortable in the fall and in the winter, in the quietude, in the lunar rather than the solar. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at this and I'm wondering a couple of different perspectives. One, do I stay with that strength? Do I go deep with those who are ready to go deep where I already am? Or two, do I find my own way into a lighter place, a more frivolous place that's more inviting to the common culture, and then ease them into these darker seasons as we work together? So just like some input from you on this, what mm-hmm. you're seeing, hearing, thinking.
Yeah. So it's almost, I mean, marketing isn't the right word, but it's a little bit of like a marketing question. It's not
sort of, but it's more of an energetic alignment. Where do I want to be in my perspective as I'm preparing myself to work with a new clientele? Do I want to stay where I'm at and go deep? Do I want to raise up myself and be aligned more lighter like the culture is, which is my tendency? It's hit that part of me in shadow.
Yep. So first question I'll ask you is, when you think about your ideal client, your true ideal client, like without any fear or expectations, like when you think about the kind of person that you really want to work with,
mm-hmm.
does that person want to dive straight into the depth, or does that person need a slower ride?
It's more of a slow ride. It's a long-term commitment to healing toward depth.
Yep. Okay. So that's the first question. So you didn't need to take too long to answer that. You know pretty clearly that your ideal client needs a little bit of a slower ride.
Right.
Next question I want to ask you is, I think you've already hinted at this, but I want to make sure that I'm hearing correctly, and if I am, I want you to hear yourself. Do you feel like you've put some of your own lightness, when I say lightness, I mean opposite of heavy, your own lightness into shadow?
Absolutely. There's not a lot of play, a lot of fun, a lot of frivolity in my life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although so, I love to laugh and I love to play.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say because of your answer to both of those questions, not only would it make sense for you professionally to bring more lightness in, especially at the front end, but it would actually be healing for you personally to do that as well.
Okay.
Does that resonate?
Excellent. Very much so. Thank you for putting it in words I could hear.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. So we're at 3:30. There's so much more here. I told you guys at the beginning we were just going to be toe dipping. So what I really want you to do, and I don't want you to hear this piece of homework and then not do it. High invitation to do this. I want you to spend some time just journaling on whatever came up and through you and for you today. Just to take it a little further and to begin to seal in some more awarenesses. The journaling, you're not looking for anything in particular in the journaling. Have it be open-ended. I'd love it if you gave yourself two different sittings on two different days, no more than 15 minutes. You really don't need more than that, even no more than 10. If you get bored when you journal, it's fine. And just see what wants to come through here. Like I said, in November, we're going to be going way, way, way deeper with all of this, but I wanted to just begin to bring you in. Remember, we have our Facebook group. I'd love to hear from you there, hear what insights are coming through from this call and from your journaling, what questions you have. A lot of the times I can answer questions in the Facebook group. I'll let you know if it's like too deep or too big for, you know, a Facebook comment to hold. But let me know. Let's connect there. And I'm thinking about all of you and wishing you a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Big hug to all of you. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.